Amen. I want you to go quickly with me to John's Gospel, the 14th chapter. Read one verse of Scripture there. While you're turning there, let me remind you, we're going to have a busy month as we go into December. It's hard for me to imagine that, you know, next week is December, the first weekend. And I told Jill, I said, you know, all my life I've heard it said that as you get older, time goes faster. I wish ever who said that I could find them and just get them to change that, because it seems like that's where we're living. You know, I mean, won't be long, we'll be doing Christmas again, you know? I mean, it's crazy. Time is flying way far more than I want it to. Are you there yet? Amen? Yes, amen. All right. Let's go to John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be dismayed. Amen. Another translation of that same verse says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. We are living in a world, to me now, that seems to be gripped by fear, worry, and constant dread. We live in a time where you hear of people taking their lives way, way, way too young. We live in a time where even older folks are saying, I have nothing to live for. I just wish that I could find some kind of peace. But can I tell you something? The Word of God declares in this passage that God declares peace to the children of God. Amen? The world is wondering where all the peace is going to come from when they're not pursuing the one that offers the peace. And that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Somebody said, I just don't know if there's enough word for me to live peaceful. There are over 400 references to God's peace in your life in the Word of God. Matter of fact, 455 to be exact. And that excites me because it's got more than every day of the year covered and then some. Amen? And so we need to understand that. The Williams translation of this same verse, I love this. It says, I now leave you the blessing of peace. I give you this blessing of my own peace. I myself do not give it in the way that the world gives it. So stop letting your hearts be troubled and timid. They tell me today that heart disease and heart problems among the younger generation is perhaps the highest it's ever been. And you know why? Because we've not transferred down to the next generation the kind of peace that God offers us. And I think it's essential that we as men and women of God understand that God intends for us to live peaceful. Come on now. God never intended for your life to be in turmoil. God never intended for you to constantly be in a rage, you know. And some of you are looking at one another like, boy, got your number today. I got all your numbers today. We worry about too much junk. We fret over stupid stuff. All the kids are out, so I can talk like I want to, as long as I don't get ugly. Amen. But we do. We worry about stupid, dumb stuff. We get all worked up over stuff. You know, the other day, bless her heart, my wife got worked up over something, and she's probably got a speaker on this morning, so I might as well go ahead and say it. And she come to me and she said, this is really getting to me. I said, me too. And we just hugged each other. It's all I knew to do. Amen. But you know what? The devil loves to try to get in the scheme of things. He loves to get you timid and intimidated. He tries to do everything within his power to mess up your mess. Amen. I don't need no help messing up my mess. My mess has got enough problems all by itself. Amen. Think about it. We need to understand something. He was actually saying, I'm going to leave with you my last, my best, my dying legacy. I'm getting ready to leave y'all, and I'm telling you, when I leave you, I'm going to send you another comforter, and it's called the Holy Ghost. I'm here to tell you, not only does Jesus walk and live inside of me, but the comforter lives there as well. He walks with me, and he talks with me all along life's way. Amen. Why? Because that's a God thing. Amen. This generation knows nothing about that kind of thing. I'm not talking about the kind of peace that man tries to give. You know, they're in a big summit now, and they're trying to get all these things worked out about this and that. And people are saying, you know, maybe one day the world will know peace. The only time this world will know true, lasting peace is when Jesus Christ comes back to reign and rule. Hello. Amen. It's not going to happen until Christ has supreme control over everything. Oh, man has his peace plans, all the while they're arming for war. It amazes me how we do that. I remember when one president not long ago, a few years back, he says, we're going to have peace. And the whole time he was going into other regions and infiltrating other lands. And I thought, that's not the way to have peace, dude. You just need to figure out something better. What they need is Jesus Christ to take control of our hearts. Notice what Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Without question, fear and worry are two of the greatest things in the tension builders of our world today. If you're going to succeed as a Christian, you've got to understand something. You need to be the kind of Christian that you need to be. You say, preacher, that doesn't make sense to me. In other words, you need to be a happy child of God. You need to live above the fray, above all the fear, above all the worry, above all the uncertainty. Christians ought not let the world get to them emotionally, spiritually, physically, financially, in any way, shape, or form. You're going to have to learn to trust God. And then you're going to have to learn to do something. The title of my message, you got to learn how to turn trouble off and turn the power of God on in your life. Amen. You see, I'm convinced we need to become radical Christians. We need to be radical about our faith. When somebody says something ugly, you just need to pray for them. When somebody says something you don't like, you need to pray for them. Get radical about your walk and your commitment with God. Don't let them get under your skin. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit get inside of them through your response and your leadership. You see, I believe we can get to the place where we rid our hearts, our minds, and souls of fear and worry. How many of you would like to get there, by the way? Amen. It's easy if you follow the principles I'm going to share with you today. You got to understand something. You've got to learn to do the right things when fear and worry come in. I'm going to give you five simple formulas. I wrote them down and placed them on Facebook last night because some of my friends were asking for them. And so I want to give you five very simple formulas that will help you to live a life and channel God's blessings in your life to help you be a blessing to others. Number one, write it down. You need desperately to face up to your problem. Ignoring the problem will not make it go away. It'll get worse. Do you understand that? Ignoring the problem will not make it go away. All of us look to your neighbor and say, hey, I know you got problems. Now, see, that even made Anna laugh. Amen. Of course, she was looking at Margaret. That, you know, I mean, we've all got problems. Margaret, you got my permission to laugh back at her. Amen. Think about it. We always look at the other person and think, man, their life's a train wreck, you know? But all of our lives at some point in time have been train wrecks. But what we need to understand is what's caused the train wreck. You're going to have to face the problems that come your way. If not, you'll never have peace of mind. You need to bring them out in the open with people who can help you. Most of the time, though, when we have a problem and we don't want to face it, we don't want anybody else to know. We want to try and bear it on our own. We want to try to deal with it on our own. And the next thing you know, it about whips our backside. Amen? What Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote this. Do the thing that you fear, and the death of fear is certain. What he was basically saying to you and I is the thing that you fear, and by the grace of God, if you'll face it, guess what? You can defeat that problem. Isaiah 43 and 5 says, fear not, for I am with thee. You need to go on the offensive instead of the defensive. I've been raised in the church of God all my life, and I saw something early on in ministry as a young man. I saw a lot of times when things would attack the people of God, they would immediately go on the defensive, what I call the defensive. They would build their walls. They would put up their spiritual borders and their outlying areas. But can I tell you something? It's time for the church to quit being so defensive. You don't have to amen that. That didn't cost you nothing. What do you mean? We're too busy building walls around our own lives as defenses, and we're constantly retreating, constantly making alibis or excuses as to why we haven't prevailed in a certain situation. We need to go on the offensive and stand on the battlefield with our head held up high, knowing that we're anchored in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. We need to go on that offensive and face our problems and be man or woman enough to stand in the face of the enemy. All of us have problems. All of us have things and needs that we need to deal with and we need to be bold about. David, men like Daniel, men like Paul, and the forces of God will use them over and over again if we face our problem. Amen. Paul was a man of renowned faith. He was a man that knew he was going to die and have his head taken off. But yet he faced it with tremendous faith and courage. He wasn't down and out. Amen. He was victorious. You see, we need to be unlike that. My wife told somebody the other day, and of course one of my grandchildren chimed in on it, then another one, Papa's afraid of the dark. Anybody else afraid of the dark besides me? I'm talking dark, y'all. Amen. Several hands went up, so I'm in good company. But what I want to tell you something, we need to quit being afraid of the dark. We need to have enough spiritual faith that we go into that light, that room of darkness, reach over and turn on the light through the power of Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is this, you know what you fear better than anybody. You know what goes on in your mind and in your heart when you face certain things. But you need to go into the dark rooms of your lives in spite of what you're fearing. And in the name of Jesus, you need to be bold and say, come here, light switch, and flip it on. And let the light shine before you. The second thing, you need to analyze the causes of your problem. In other words, you need to track down the culprit and defeat it. Most of us suffer from two things in America, inferiority and fear. We always feel like we're never good enough. We always feel like we're making mistakes. We can't never get to that place in our lives where we got it down pat. When you find out what the problem is, you need to put it in proper perspective. Some of our fears need to be demoted. Amen? I believe that with all my heart. There are some things that you're fearful over need to be put at the bottom of the list instead of the top. They need to be in their proper place. They're minor and they're insignificant. And all of our fears need to be dealt with by prayer and face-to-face confrontation with that that's afflicting us. And then you need to turn those things over to God. In other words, you remember we used to sing a song, we were talking about that before service. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And if you'll trust and never doubt, he'll surely bring you out. But you've got to learn to do those things. You've got to learn to enact those principles. And when the fear comes, you've got to say, God, I need you to deal with this thing. I need you to handle this thing, Lord. I can't do it by myself. You see, that's the problem. We try to do things by ourselves when we need to turn them over to a great big God and let him handle it. Amen? The third thing we need is to space them out. Have you ever felt like you're on the verge of a nuclear holocaust in your life? Have you ever felt like you get through one bomb scare and here comes another? Amen. You're constantly warring against these things as they come against you. I told you in a sermon not long ago, it used to be a time in the church when we went up the rough side of the mountain, we get to the peak, and we get to enjoy it for a while, right? And then you go back down that valley experience, and you're there for just a season. And next thing you know, you're going back up the rough side of the mountain. But you know, it seemed like there was a lull in there, Brother Tommy. To me, it seemed like we had some spacing. But now it's like some smart aleck's come along, and he's pulled out the spacing. And it seems like we go from one valley to the next, one valley to the next, one valley to the next, not getting to spend much time on the mountain. It's time for the church to say, devil, I've had enough of your mess. Now we're going to stay on the mountain for a while and enjoy the blessings of God. Amen. Somebody said, but remember, it says, in the valley he restoreth my soul. Well, can I tell you another thing? When I'm on top of the mountain, I've realized that's where my help comes from, is the hills and the mountains of God. And while I'm up there a while, I want to give him some praise. I want to give him some love, some adoration. We need to line up our problems and space them out and face them to the glory of God. You can't solve everything at one time. Have you ever felt like you were being pulled 1,000 different directions? You got this person demanding this of you, this person demanding this of you, and the next thing you know, there's no you. They've done demanded all of you and pulled you in all these different directions. What you need to do is say, whoa, stop this. Yeah. You can't enjoy life. Anybody here got more than two arms? Have you ever seen an octopus? He got all them legs and arm things going on. He can do all kinds of stuff at one time. But you are only one person. You only have two arms and two legs. Amen. And while you're in this thing, if somebody's pulling on one arm, somebody's pulling on the other, trying to get your attention, guess what? All of a sudden, you're going to be off balance spiritually. You need to understand something. God expects you. Are you ready for this? Take some time for yourself and work things out. Too many times we're worried about what people are going to think of us. Number one, I quit worrying about what people think of me a long time ago. Because if not, I would be insane, Patsy. Yeah. Amen. I remember Dad telling me one time, he says, yeah, you get this side happy and that side gets mad at you. You get that side happy and that side gets mad at you. I'm blessed. There ain't neither side of you that I know of mad at me. So we're just going to keep on plugging along for Jesus. Amen. Think about that. The fourth thing is, we need to take our hostile worries and turn them into advantages. This is lesson 101 for you today. It's part two. Think about this for just a minute. Preacher, I don't understand that. How many of you want to go to heaven? Really? Want to go to heaven? Well, let me tell you this. I've had people get on me, and I don't say this in a bragging way at all, okay? I say it very humbly. People tell me I need to slow down. Do not amen that, okay? But people tell me, Brother Yule's grinning. He's like, yeah, I do. I tell you that all the time. But people tell me all the time, I need to slow down, take some time and do this and do that. Well, I have a fear. Can I tell you my greatest fear? Standing before God as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and hear him say, you didn't do enough. You didn't do enough. That's what drives me. That's what makes me function every day. Every day that I live, I give God thanks. And I say, God, you've given me another opportunity to do what? To get out and tell somebody about Jesus. You see, that's what should drive every Sunday school teacher. That's what should drive every youth worker, every evangelist, is hearing God say, you didn't do enough. We can never do too much. But let the right drive. It's not about climbing up the spiritual church ladder. It's not climbing up in position in the church. It's doing what God called you to do with a fear and reverence for the one that's called you. I'm counseling someone that is not a part of our church right now. And that person said, I'm wrestling with my call, or if I ever was called. Let me tell you something. I'm 65 years young. I feel younger than I did 5 years ago, except when we do stuff like we did Friday. That made me feel a little old, Wade. It made me feel a little old. Adam, I watched him climb like a monkey up that tree. And I thought, I used to do that 30 years ago. But I just, now I had to relegate myself to being his, watch that lamb. You know, put it over on that one, you know. But I begin to think about this thing. I've never doubted my call of evangelism. I've never doubted my call to be a pastor. Even when things got dark and dreary and felt like all hell was assailing against me and my family, I never doubted my call. That's why I'm still here 32 years later pastoring, knowing that God has called me. I will never call you to ministry. But I promise you, when God calls you to ministry, I will be in your corner supporting you 100%. Why? Because that's what we need to do. We need to build up each other. I was told this week that God is the God of second chances. I'm glad he is. Aren't you? Amen. If it wasn't for the second chance, I would definitely not be here today. But God is a God of second chances. So we need to understand something. We need to understand that God, our fear and love for him, should be the motivation to make us be the man or woman of God we need to be. Now, there are a lot of people say they're Christians. I remember when reading about the betrayal of Christ. Remember what Peter said? I will never deny you. There's something unique in that statement. Lord, not me. I know who I am. That's what he was saying. But yet, in one of his confrontations, remember he was told he'd deny the Lord three times. In one of them, it says, your speech betrays you. Wow. There are a lot of people who say they're Christians, but their speech and their actions betray them. We need to be the men and women of God that would make God proud to say, that's my son and that's my daughter. Amen. The final thing is this. We need to erase those worries and fears that are too big for us to handle. In other words, you need to let the strong hand of Christ, the power of Almighty God, heal your mind just like he heals marriages, minds, and spirits. You need to give it to God. There's a place that you and I can get where God alone can only work. I've been there. I've been to a point in my life where I've looked up helpless and said, God, there's nothing I can do about this. I have to give it to you. Because if you don't, it will consume you, my friend. I know this ain't one of them shouting sermons, but you need to understand something. Some of you are going through spiritual things and spiritual valleys and dark places that you need these five things. You need to understand that Jesus said, my peace I will leave with you. Sister Ashley, would you and Brother Tommy come? Think about it. You might be in a place right now where you feel like your only hope is God. You might say, preacher, I've tried everything else. And I've tried God at a time in my life, but some reason I just feel like I'm not where I need to be in my peace and my walk with God. Well, God is a God of second chances. Would you stand with me across this building? If you're here this morning and you don't know the peace that I've just talked about and shared, I want to invite you to this altar. I want to invite you to this place of finding God and saying, God, my life's not at peace by any means. I want to be able to face these things. I want to be able to analyze their cause. I want to be able to space them out. I want to be able to turn them into my advantage. And if God, if all that fails, then God, I want you with your strong arm just to erase them out of my life. Father God, through the Holy Spirit, I ask you this morning to walk through the aisles of this beautiful church and congregation. I ask you, God, to help us to search out our hearts, to ask ourselves, why are we not at peace? Don't think about your neighbor. Don't think about your best friend or your spouse. I want you to think about where you are right now with God. Are you at peace with him? Are you at peace with him? Father God, you know our hearts. You know what we lack and what we need. Search them right now, God. Speak to them to come forward in Jesus' name. If you're here, you're wrestling, don't have the peace that you think you should have or you know you should have through the word, then I ask you to come to this altar and let me anoint you. Let us pray for you that God would give you the peace that passes all understanding. He's willing to do that right now for you. with me. This morning, as we do every Sunday morning, to come and stand with me, kneel if you would like. Let's lay our hands on this box. We're going to pray for the souls that are in here. And we're going to believe that God will give them another chance. God would say,